All right, thank you very much, Ben Shulman. And yes, indeed, get your thoughts heard. Because, Kevin, I don't know what thoughts I have. 416-870, I do, but I would like the station to retain its broadcasting license. So 416-870-0590.
What's the matter?
Star 590, 1-888-666-0590.
You write this stuff down?
No, clearly not. I did keep score of the game, though, Kevin, and I've got...
How much you write down?
I've got the middle of the order, the meat of the lineup, 0 for 10 with 4 strikeouts and 1 ball hit into the air. Hey, look, I mean, Logan Allen, you know, your favorite line, and I don't think you can copyright it. I think a lot of folks have said it. But the opposing team, and in this case the opposing pitcher, will tell you what they think of you. And it's pretty clear that the Cleveland Guardians don't think much of the Blue Jays' ability to hit the fastball.
Yeah, Logan Allen threw 84 pitches, threw 52 fastballs. The Blue Jays had one hit off the 52 fastballs.
And
he's topping out at 93, 94. And he's more pitching at 91, 92. Like, it's not like he's rearing back and giving it to him at 101. It's mainly 91, 92, 93, somewhere in that range. And it's inner third. I mean, it's not always perfect with that. By now, I think it's just results-oriented. Like, we can forget about thinking or wondering what it is. They're not getting it done. That's the bottom line. I mean, it's – you can say what you want about Kevin's velocity. I mean, he gave up 3 runs.
Yeah.
The bullpen was good. I mean, the 2 lefties coming out of the pen were good enough. Like, they did in the, they held a first-place team at home
to three runs. Yep.
But they scored 1 run, and they only had 3 hits. So, I mean, it's like Groundhog Day. We've been talking about this for two seasons now. It's the same old thing, right? It's the pitching does exactly what they were supposed to do. And then offensively, you mentioned it, the meat of the order is not getting it done. I mean, again, I don't think there's any other way now we can say it. The other teams that come in here, their better players are getting it done, and the Blue Jays' better players are not.
Listen, I think, you know, we've said this, and I think we've been pretty clear of this. I mean, we're long past the idea that you're going to find an answer to what ails this team internally. Hey, we're long past. We were past that point halfway through last year. So it's up to the general manager to either make a deal to turn this offense around or at least make it better. And yes, that is hard to do at this time of year.
Tough.
I agree. But it's either that or I think you start shipping some folks out. And, I'm not saying you back up the truck and throw everybody out, but... Yeah, I'm sorry. Kevin Biggio and Daniel Vogelbach, they were part of the problem. They weren't, you know, a major, I don't think anyhow, major contributors to the problem. I think it's time for a little bold action here. And I don't know, maybe we're begging. There's no indication from this front office that they feel, I mean, they'll talk about a sense of urgency. I've yet to see it. I don't necessarily think calling up Spencer Horwitz and, after taking 3 weeks to deliberate, calling up Spencer Horwitz and then bringing up Addison Barger, that to me I don't detect a sense of urgency there. So I don't know. Until something's done, and it's out of the manager's hands, it's out of the coaching staff's hands, this isn't on the hitting coaches anymore, this is on the front office. Ross has got to do something. And if Ross doesn't do anything, well...
Rinse and repeat.
Dot, dot, dot. I'll let you imagine where I would go with it. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. So if Kevin Gausman's velocity down roughly 2.5 miles per hour, let's deal with that right away before we get to the calls. Ethan in Foothills, Alberta, will get to you. Just give me a second here. But want to deal with that first of all. 109 pitches in his previous start against Oakland. Yes, he had the extra day off.
Yeah.
Do you attribute that loss of velocity tonight to that game? Do you think it was something deliberate on the part of Kevin? In other words, he's trying to find a different pitch mix. How do you view that? Because, again, it's not like he crapped the bed. No. He didn't crap the bed, but he was throwing an average of 2.5 miles an hour less than his average pitch.
Yeah, I've said this to you before. He's pitched a ton. I mean, he's doing this with two pitches now.
It's not like he's trying to reinvent himself, but he's trying to add a wrinkle, isn't he?
He's trying to get it. There was eight lefties in the lineup tonight. I mean, yeah, you almost have to be perfect here, both sides of the plate, right? You got to be real fine with the fastballs that you do throw in, and you got to be almost perfect with the balls down and away. So you're trying to do it to different sides of the plate, not so much different quadrants, because, you know, he ain't much of a pitcher out there most of the time. He's more of a, you know, I'm going to get after you, big part of the zone. I ain't going to nibble with you. But when you got eight lefties in the lineup, Jeff, you got to do a little something, right? And he's trying to add and subtract. Yeah, I don't think this is on purpose. The velocity all over the place is, for me anyway, I think we've seen too much of this. I just think it's because he's had a long career and he's pitched a lot. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Well, that's it's an old team. It's an older team. It's an older pitching staff. I mean, them's just the facts.
Tip your hat, though. The dude didn't give up too many runs.
No.
I mean, he gave him a chance.
No.
To do something offensively and
what is it? He held the fourth best offense in baseball, I do believe, statistically, up among that ranking. He held them to 3 runs. And Will Brennan,
that's a decent pitch. I mean, it was it's when you got to go both sides of the plate and you got to be perfect.
Yep.
You know, you can't miss a little up against that many lefties.
Ethan in Foothills, Alberta, thanks for your patience, my friend. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just kind of wanted your comments. As I was watching that ninth inning, I just felt like it was a perfect encapsulation of the Blue Jays season, where they're down, they're running behind, and the big boys, or the guys who are supposed to be the big boys, come up to the plate. And Vladdy had an okay plate appearance, but Bowen Turner, leaving a considerable amount to be desired from them. And even at the end of the top of the ninth, before the commercial came in, you just heard, I don't remember if it was Joe or Dan, but they just said, Blue Jays down to their last chance. And I just went, well, how many times have the Blue Jays games come down to their last chance and the offense just hasn't delivered? And I suppose you could say, okay, well, it's against Class A.
He's but good.
If the Blue Jays somehow sneak into the wild card, it's the playoffs. It's not like you're facing the Double-A call-up for the Rockies in game one of the wild card, right?
Yep.
It's always going to be, well, it was against blank,
yep,
right? And just right in the name of a future Hall of Famer.
I mean, that.
So,
yeah, no, listen, I hang on the line for a minute. You're absolutely right. Look, Cleveland's bullpen is great. The weakness you were going to find with the Cleveland pitching tonight was the starter. You had to get to the starter. You had to score some runs against the starter, because if they had the lead on you, you were not scoring against that bullpen. You damn sure ain't scoring against Emmanuel Clase. And I don't know if that's necessarily just a Vladdy, Bo, and Justin Turner thing. I think there are a lot of teams in baseball, a lot of good hitters in baseball, that have a hard time hitting that guy, Kevin.
Yeah, well, I think it's sort of the entire game from inning one
to
nine. It's velocity and it's the fastball. Like,
yep.
That's, again, Jeff, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors or, what the meeting's all about and, what the game plans are. I just know they look really late on fastballs.
And they have, from the get-go, from jump.
The first guy I've been saying that forever. The first guy didn't throw very hard. I mean, you can't make that an excuse, right? I know they have trouble with, velocity above 95 miles an hour. That dude didn't throw that.
Kevin, they had a 6-pitch first inning.
Yeah.
And Vladdy swung at the first pitch. They had a
it's right down the middle.
They had a 6-pitch first inning.
Should have hit it to the
moon. They had a six-pitch first inning against a guy that, anyhow, I just, the first inning, you've had your, everything should be fresh in your mind. I mean, we've gone over this and over this and over this with the first inning. Everything should be fresh in your mind. It's like, it's like they just go to the plate and brain lock. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's that necessarily. I think we have to come to the conclusion. You know what? This is not a real good lineup. Like, I don't think this is an issue of lineup construction more than anything else. But it's just not that good.
Yeah, I mean, they got a $25 million right fielder who is hitting a legit 196.
Yep.
I mean, he has earned every single bit of that 196. So, yeah, like, again, the guys that, you know, the front office was saying they were counting on to do a bunch of things has, you know, you could quite frankly, and up to this point, you know, I mean, I guess things could change showing up tomorrow and, you know, a couple of dudes that matter in that lineup start doing some things special.
Yeah, but we've been saying
now, it's, you know, you are what you look like. And right now they look like a team that's three games under 500 and a bazillion out of first place in the American League East.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590-31. The Cleveland Guardians have beaten the Blue Jays in the first game of a three-game series at the Rogers Center. Tate Smith's pretty good. The Canadian dude. It's pretty good. How come we don't get guys like that?
I mean, if you notice, the Jays' pitching's not their problem.
No, but we don't. But I'm saying this organization.
I mean,
this organization. It's not like the bullpen's. It's not like this bullpen's been great. I mean, you're still throwing a bunch of guys against the wall here.
If they were scoring more runs, the defense could hide the woes that's running out of the pen.
I don't know.
I mean, let's be honest.
I wouldn't mind seeing them. I wouldn't mind seeing the system fart out one or two of those guys.
I really wouldn't. But that, I mean, the last thing you can argue and yell and scream about is the pitches.
I can yell and scream about bullpen. The bullpen's not very good. It's not very good. It's not why they lost it, but it's not very good. Sure, I can scream about the bullpen. Sure, I can wonder where all these arms are. Every spring training, I hear about all these arms. Oh, they've got depth this year. They didn't have depth last year. Boy, they've got depth this year. I don't see any depth. I just don't. Anyhow, let's take a break and come back. We'll get to Jason Thornhill, Gary in Vancouver. Sorry, Bar, I just don't. Where's this magical depth?
What'd you say? Fart out depth?
I said fart out a couple of guys that can throw hard. I mean, everybody else has them.
What's the matter?
Everybody else has them, and they're running out, you know, the ghost of Tim Mesa in games. Anyhow, 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We'll take a break and come back on the other side. It's Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, back to the phone lines on Blue Jays talk. Jason in Thornhill.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Jason. How you doing?
Probably the same as you. I'd like to thank you guys because this show is very cathartic. I think for all Blue Jays fans.
Well, I'm here to be cathartic.
I think everybody watching this game tonight would have known that the 21 and 22 teams would have hung 10 on the sky in the first three innings. I mean, it's just, it's beyond, the offense is beyond anything. And really what I had called in to say, other than quickly mentioning that I think Ross whiffed so badly with the Tail and Lourdes trades that you just can't recover from that. And I think the ramifications of that we're seeing right now, I think he had some big, huge trade chips. He undervalued them and overvalued what he was getting. And the combination is going to leave us in bad shape for years to come. But ultimately, what I really want to ask you guys, and maybe, you know, hopefully you can speak to it a little bit, is I think this organization is really run by Mark Shapiro and overall. And I think his philosophy and the people that he hires who have deference to him and owe their allegiance to him, I think really, really don't have much say in what goes on. And I think, you know, you can even see that in the first move he made was fire the future executive of the year and one of the brightest minds in baseball. And AA was smart enough to know he didn't want any part of this situation. And I think as long as Mark Shapiro was running the show, I think you're going to have a problem. I think Rogers has to really take a serious look
at what's happening, what is happening to this franchise and to the fan base that comes and is loyal. Forget about the renovations. That's all great. But if the product is horrible, the people eventually won't come. And it's going to be a serious situation if Mark Shapiro is left to run this organization. And I just want to hear what you guys would think about that.
Thank you very much for the call, Jason. Where to begin? Where to begin with that? Look, in terms of revenue streams, and I know the fans really aren't interested in revenue streams right now, but again, trust me, it's important. And I'm speaking as someone who remembers when this team didn't have any revenue streams, much to think of, or many revenue streams, I should say, to hang their hat on. That is important. Whether or not people like it, renovating the Rogers Center was absolutely vital to the financial well-being of this franchise.
They had to.
It was. It was a necessity because you were getting to a point where you're either going to have a discussion about building a new ballpark. We were going to have that discussion. The Rogers Center couldn't exist the way it was. It just couldn't. Not the way baseball revenue is generated these days. So I would always caution people not to undersell Mark's role in that and his impact in getting that done. When you work for a publicly traded company, you're balancing a lot of things. And I mean, that's just the nature of the business. I'm not saying anything against anybody. It's just, it is what it is. Mark's been very good at that. On the field, it's always been a subject of some debate, Kevin, because Mark is such an all-encompassing person. And I think it's always been kind of a debate about how much, where does his say end and where does it begin? I don't think a big contract is signed without Mark signing off on it. I don't think a big trade is made without his input. But I think a lot of the other stuff, quite frankly, he just doesn't...
Around the edges.
Yeah, he doesn't get involved. He doesn't get involved in it.
Yeah.
And I got to say this. The Lourdes Gurriel / Moreno trade for Dalton Varsho, one, it looks better than it did last year. But two, to me, the issue wasn't so much what you got in return. It's that you gave up two everyday pieces to get one sort of everyday piece, and you didn't replace the other everyday piece. In fact, you made it worse by taking another guy, Teoscar Hernandez, and getting rid of him. So I guess that's where I stand on it. I mean, in terms of war and things of that nature, I think Dalton Varsho's been a fine acquisition. I just don't know if I would have given up two everyday players to get him.
Yeah, I would think the front office is a team, right? You act like a team, you speak like a team, you do things as a team. So, when it doesn't work out, you blame the team, right? I think you just, when you're talking about trading all three of them, how would you do that? I guess you could trade two of the three,
yeah.
But all three? Oh, it's mind-boggling.
John Schneider was asked about George Springer's year, and we've got a clip from that.
Yeah, I think with George, there's definitely some bad luck involved with George's season. And I think, you work a walk, your first at bat, just kind of, he's missing his pitches. Again, it's not for lack of effort, for intent, for prep. One of those stretches that everyone kind of goes through, I know it's, no one puts more pressure on themselves than probably George, and a few of our guys in the lineup, but there's been some underlying things that have been really encouraging about his at-bats lately. And, again, George is a huge part of what we're doing here. So you gotta count on him that he's going to turn it around. And he's done that his whole career.
Just to follow up on George, you said that there's some bad luck that you've seen involved with this season. What specifically, is there anything that kind of that makes you say that?
Yeah, just watching his at-bats, with hitting balls hard at people. George is one of the best players in the league, has been one of the best players in the league for the majority of his career. And, we're gonna count on him to be productive. So it's a tough stretch for sure, but I think, again, you're a few months into it. And I think early on you can look back and see, if a hit falls here or there, the numbers look pretty different. So it's all about taking it one day at a time, one at bat at a time. you know, he's just been kind of missing his pitches. You know, I don't want to say he's been unlucky the whole year, you know, but, you know, pitches that he usually handles, he hasn't done that consistently.
I mean, God love John Schneider because he stood up for his guy right there. Man, I got to tell you, I sure as hell wouldn't have done that.
I would love to have a manager when I played that had my back like John's got George's back. I mean, the bottom line is the dude's hitting 196 with 14 RBIs. I mean, I don't know how any other way that you can shake it. I mean, he's hitting seventh. How do you have bad luck hitting 196? Bad luck is going from like 250 to 230. That's bad luck.
Yeah.
Not hovering around 200, and now you're under the Mendoza line. Like most people wouldn't play every day. Let's be honest. Like, it's facts. I'm assuming if they'd had better options or other options that they could fill in the blanks with in right field, I would think they'd do it. I mean, where their team's at and the way they're not scoring runs, Jeff, I would think sooner than later you got to address that, and you got to start seeing some productive at bats, bad luck at bat and the
I don't know where you go
to shortstop. Like,
I don't know what you do because you're still on the hook for 60 odd million. And
it doesn't mean you have to play him every day.
Well, there is that. Gary in Vancouver.
You got me?
I got you, Gary. You got us? Jeez, I can't yell any louder.
I think he does have us.
You okay there, Gary?
You okay, bud? Gary.
Fire the manager. Fire the general manager. No, just hear me out for. Give me.
Let's hear it. Right?
Yeah, we'll hear you because no one's brought this up yet. So come on, let's go.
Let's do it.
My father was the executive director of purchasing for a major hotel, the Hotel Vancouver, and he walked into. I remember he walked into the kitchen and he because I wasn't served and he fired the whole kitchen. That's what we've got to do because as far as I'm concerned, you just watched garbage. And I just told the producer, thank you.
Yeah, but hold on, Gary, just hang on. If your dad fired the whole staff, who the hell cooked dinner that night? Like, if I'm a guest at that hotel, I'm pissed. I'm not going to be ordering out from some place.
No. They waited 1 hour, and the kitchen was completely done. That's how he did it.
Okay, I appreciate.
By the way, my father did it for 25 years.
Fired.
He was no dummy.
Okay, You didn't fire people for 25 years.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God. Yeah, maybe we should get him in here. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. Gary in Vancouver. There you go.
Put him down for undecided.
Yeah, I'll put him down. Mark him down. Undecided Gary. Remind me not to. I should have found out the name of the hotel. Well, of course, his dad's not there anymore. But firing the whole staff. I mean, yeah, you know, all kidding aside, I think Gary probably speaks for the majority, to be honest, right now. I don't think there's a lot of love left. There's a lot of frustrated fans, you know, and that's understandable. A lot of
expectations coming into the season.
There were a ton of expectations coming this season. But, hey, you know what the best thing is, Kevin?
There's always tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. 3-1, the Blue Jays have lost to the Cleveland Guardians. Don't panic, folks. They get to do it again tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers. Tomorrow is Washed for a Wish Day. Whew, say that fast. At participating Crown locations across the country. Every year, Crown Centers across Canada hand-wash vehicles for $10, with 100% of the proceeds going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Canada. Crown invites you to get your vehicle washed tomorrow and help make a difference for critically ill children across Canada. Find your local participating family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.